Thanks for joining us for another God-inspired message from C3 Church Monash. Connect with us online at c3monash.org.au, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
I love that we can continue to applaud God and, worship together. What a great feeling of joy in the house this morning. After prayer and fast, right? You know, how good is that? Our prayer vigil. Thank you for all who've turned up through the night. What a great start to the night on Friday night it was as we came together and worshipped together. And as we pray as a church, there's a unity that comes. And I think, you know, as we pray together, God moves. He loves that. God looks on that. And there's this, he commands blessing on the unity of our prayers together as we join together in prayer. So thank you, C3 Monash, for joining with us in prayer over this weekend, or the Friday, Saturday, and throughout the week with the prayer and fasting. Why don't you grab a seat right now? Pastor Steve's down in C3 Monash. C3 Monash. I'm in C3 Monash. He's in C3 Queanbeyan. That's where he is this morning. And for those of you that don't know of C3 Queanbeyan, they're another location from our church and here in Monash with Mike and Sarah Williams. And they've got a great happening church down there. So if you know anyone in Queanbeyan that would like to find a church, that's the one to go to. But we're so excited. We're going to start the morning. Well, we've started the morning with so many things, haven't we? Like, how great is it? We've already had people on this altar being prayed for. And God has been speaking to hearts here this morning, I know. But I'm going to call Karen up right now. Karen Jacoby, come on. Let's give Karen a hand. Because Karen's decided to go through the waters of baptism. And it's such an important step for us as believers that, Jesus, if Jesus did it, hey, it's got to be good for us, right? And it's fulfilled prophecy that Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, actually baptized him. And John was like, whoa, I'm not baptizing you, you're the Messiah. And he said, no, this is fulfilled prophecy, I need you to baptize me. And then, you know, I was just thinking of the day of Pentecost. So they came to the upper room and they prayed, they waited on God, just like we were doing at the prayer vigil, for God to come, for God to turn up. And that was the time when Jesus said, I'm going to leave with you the Holy Spirit, and left the Holy Spirit with them. And tongues of fire came on that prayer meeting. And, they broke out in speaking in all kinds of language. And they spoke in a spiritual language, which was quite amazing. And people from all around Jerusalem, not just the Jews in Jerusalem, but those that were, coming into Jerusalem, they actually were able to, were speaking in their other tongue as well, which is amazing. I love what God does when we are obedient to turning up. You know, when we turn up to prayer, when we turn up to serve, and when we turn up to go through the waters of baptism. And, Peter said in Acts, I think it was in Acts 3, after, tongues of fire came, but he was speaking to the people and he says, repent and be baptized. And it just seems to me to be the very next step of our journey with Jesus. And it is a step of obedience and it is a step of courage, and it's one that's declared to all who are present. Isn't that right? So I'm going to ask you, you've got a little bit of something to share there, and Karen's just going to share a little bit of her testimony right now.
Today I've asked to be rebaptized to confirm my commitment and love to my Saviour. I first became a Christian at 17. I spent a lot of that time with one foot in God's kingdom and one foot in the world. And I found it very easy to run rather than deal with areas of my life, which also led to me leaving church for 10 plus years. A year ago, God brought my family back to Him, but also back to the one church we ran from. In the last year, God brought me home and blessed us with a family. I must admit, the last few weeks I wanted to run again, but instead I'm hanging up my running shoes and choosing to only run to God. By being rebaptized, I'm pledging my commitment to God and to each of you here, because I'm home.
Yeah, amazing. Well done. And that's a courageous step, you know, when we've, Karen, you know, sharing that she'd walked away from God, but has come back to God and has repented of her ways and your agenda, and you've decided to make this step. And this is exciting. So are we ready? And Sarah has, Sarah's had the connection through C3 Cares, and this is really a part of how Karen and Craig and the family came back into the house of God. So how exciting is that, through one of our other services? So Sarah's going to help me baptize Karen right now. Okay, in there. Wonderful. So Karen, with the confession of your faith, it is with our absolute pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
And I just get a real presence of God on you right now. And as you've gone down in the waters, you went down in one life and you're coming up in another. Curses that have been on your family, we break them in the name of Jesus. Ancestral sin, we break in the name of Jesus. What you are carrying now is a new life in God to take to your family as the mother of the household. And you will do it not by yourself, but with the grace of God upon you. Amen.
Yes, Father, we thank you, God, that you seal this upon Karen's life. Lord, your love for her. Lord, your anointing upon her. God, that she will walk her days like with you, knowing that she is secure in you, knowing that you are for her, not against her. Father, I thank you, God, that you will open up doors, new doors for her to walk through. I thank you, God, that she can walk with confidence, Lord, in clarity. Lord, that she will know that she knows that it is your voice. Lord, that is the direction that she is walking in toward you, God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the author and finisher of Karen's faith, and that she will run this journey with such diligence. Lord God, that she will know, no matter what it is that comes her way to rob her, that she will be so determined in her walk with you that she will see it till its completion when she meets with you again. So, Father, we thank you that it is sealed upon her in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Fantastic. Wonderful. Beautiful. And we've got Matt being baptized tonight. So that's exciting. Matt Torrens. Just to be clarify that. Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, you know, I just feel to go into, I might grab the pulpit in a moment. But I feel to go in to, after our prayer vigil on Friday night, there's quite a few prophetic words coming through, and in that moment, is Sarah Croft here? Sarah Croft, you're hiding right there. Sarah, just if you don't want to come up, I'll just quickly, stand up though. Hey, this wasn't the plan, but you shared about, you said there was a prophetic word coming out, and it was quite a strong word. Can you remember?
Yes. I was not forewarned about this. there was a time of worship just before we began praying, and I just was brought back to the scripture about the valley of dry bones. And so I was reading that through as we were worshipping, and it's in Ezekiel, if you guys want to look it up, but basically he's walking through a valley and it's full of just bones, dry, there's no flesh on them, you know, all those sorts of things. And then there's a moment and he's actually called by God and goes, you need to prophesy to these bones and prophesy that they're formed, but also prophesy that there's breath in them. And he, as he's walking through, he prophesies for the formation. And as he does that, these bones actually form tendons and ligaments and flesh, and they come together, but there's still no breath in them. And then he's called again and goes, no, prophesy breath into them. And so he does. And as he calls breath into them, they actually come alive and they're functional. And then it forms an army. And as I was in that time of worship, God actually was talking about actually prophesying breath into dreams that may feel dry and may feel dead and not alive. You know, and there may be people that are walking through a valley and they just feel like all they see is dry bones. All they see is the signs of death in their life, and whether that's dreams or something else. But yeah, it was about just understanding that God actually wants you to call his breath into them. You know, God's breath is the breath of life. And so we are called to pray and really persevere in that and prophesy that breath of life into those dreams.
Just wait. Who here feels that there's those dry bones, that they're feeling that their dreams have dried up, or there's that sense that there needs to be life and breath into those dry bones? Is there anyone here? Yeah, come on, I'll put my hand up. There's quite a few, isn't there? There's dry bones, that's right. And I love that, you know, when we prophesy, there's that prophecy of breath, and I just see that, you know, there's the sinew and the muscle, and everything just starts to come together when the breath of God gets on it. And I believe that that, you know, with that word, I just started to see people rising up. I started to see that there's almost been inside of us a sleeping giant, and that the giant is awakening, and that in that awakening, that there's like this belief, this faith, like a Caleb and a Joshua, so that when they started walking toward the promised land, they started to see that there were giants in that promised land, and of the 12, it was only the two of them that believed that we can do this. We can get through this because our God has showed us that he is faithful. And I believe that he is faithful. I'm going to get you to pray over the people who had their hands up. And I want you to pray for them.
For those. Awesome. Can we actually stand? And if that's you, if you feel like you're walking through a valley of dry bones, I'd love it if you could just raise your hands and people can get around you. So Lord God, right now we prophesy your breath of life into these dry bones. Lord God, that as we see these dry bones coming together, God, they're forming into a reality, Lord God. We thank you that they have your breath of life in them. God, the life, Lord God, that only you can give. God, life that is functional and viable. Lord God, where there has been death, there is life. Lord God, as we're walking through a valley, God, we fear no evil, but God, we know that you are the creator, you are the designer, Lord God. And so as we walk through this and as we see these bones rattle and come together, as we see your breath of life, we know that they are it's in accordance with your plan for good. It is in accordance with your plan for prosperity. It is your in accordance with your plan for health. Lord God, we thank you that you breathe life. God, that we see sparks of life in these dry bones. We see sparks of life that turns into fire, God. God, we thank you. And God, right now we ask for your peace for any person who is walking through a valley of dry bones. We ask for your hope and your promises, Lord God. God, to stay strong. God, in your peace to sit heavy on these people. God, that they know they can stand steadfast in your word, that your plans are for good. God, that the desires in their heart are from you. God, and that your breath brings life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes, let's give the Lord a hand right now. I'm just wanting to take a seat, grab a seat. I'm just coming behind with the drums. And, you know, on the first hour of prayer, who is it? Who was able to get there for the first hour of prayer? And then Andrew started to prophesy on these drums. And it was very powerful. I just want to ask Andrew, what was happening in that moment? Oh, just to put you on the spot.
Thanks, Pastor Deb. For those that weren't here Friday night, it was extremely powerful. In that moment when Pastor Steve said, could I prophesy on the drums, I freaked out. And it was that moment where I had to absolutely just depend on him. That said to myself, Lord, I've got nothing. There's nothing in the tank. So what I play, Lord, may it be from heaven. And I don't really remember what I played, but hopefully the Holy Spirit flowed through the beat, the drum, a new beat, I think Pastor Steve said. There's a new beat for the church. And at that moment, I let go and I gave God my complete trust. And he moved in this place and it was powerful. So thanks everybody that came and pressed in and believed. And I think our faith rose and there'll be absolutely our families coming to Christ through this season. So thanks, Lord, for what you do for each of us. Amen.
You know, Andrew, I know that what you're saying is that, you know, when you said, oh, you felt like there was nothing in you, and yet what came out was quite extraordinary in the beat of the drum, and that it was a new sound. And I think that, you know, there's probably many of us that feel that way. To be honest, I was feeling like there's nothing left in me to give out. And I really believe that it's a word of the Lord, not only for many of us who may be feeling a little empty in our tank at the moment, but I believe it's a word of the Lord for you that I see your tank filling up. And I see God doing a new thing. There's a new sound coming for you. I see that you hear a new sound. There's a voice of God that's going to take you into places that you thought you'd never go. And I know that that you are not in this alone, that you've got a great support of people around you, that you've got a beautiful wife that's standing with you, and a family. I just see that God is taking you into a whole new season. And you won't feel empty because you'll be running to him. You'll be running to him and he will fill that tank. And you'll be standing in places where you thought you couldn't. And God will allow your voice to speak the oracles of heaven and people's lives will be changed. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing upon Andrew. Fantastic. Look, I could actually really keep going around the room and there was just so many great words coming out this morning. Hey, oh, was that you, Beck? Oh, Bell, you got a word too there? Hey, hey, hey. So, Bell, when you were at the prayer meeting, what was happening for you? You did. I thought you were there the... So when you weren't at the prayer meeting, what was happening for you? A date night with your husband. Right. So that you needed a date night. I hope you prayed at your date night. You missed out. No, I'm sure you had a great date night, actually. It's important to have those date nights. Next time, work your date night out, a different date night, so you can come to the prayer vigil. But hey, I love the diligence of these guys. And, you know, I see, Bell, that you are a little powerball, that you keep moving in a direction with God, that you are someone who's put your hand up, I'll get the job done. And I love that about you. But I believe God is going to say you need more date nights. You need more time out. And I know for Ryan that that God is saying to you, there's a sleeping giant inside of you and it's rising up. And I think you need to hear that voice of what God is saying. Rise up, take authority, step into it because it's there for you. Take it with passion. There are things inside of you. You've got a heart for people. You've got a heart for people who are struggling. You've got a heart for people to know Jesus. You've got to awaken that stirring that's within you because there's a gift of God on you to do that. What is it? And take it with passion. Hold it. Run with it. And God will bless it. Amen. There's blessing on both your lives. Thank you, Jesus. Fantastic. Okay, I don't know if I'm going to get into a word because I feel like there's just more word to come around. Leanne. Leanne was at the prayer meeting. Leanne will escape. Come here. Come here. See? You're moving in the anointing. She's right here next to me. I saw you up the back there worshipping God wholeheartedly on that night. And what was happening for you in that first hour?
Reconnection, probably. Just, yeah, in a sense of peace. And don't fret. He's got it all in control. So to stop fretting. So I'm pretty good at fretting. So, yeah, so just relax.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, be anxious for nothing. Hey, that's a word that constantly comes my way too. And it's, if we're anxious for nothing, which is that Philippians 4, correct me on that? Yes, it is. Philippians 4, it says, be anxious, be not concerned for these things, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And then it tells us to focus on the things that are good and pure and praiseworthy and honourable. And I believe that scripture is a scripture for you today. That is... because as you get the peace of God on you, you take it to others. Peace giver. Be a peace giver, a peace bringer. Fantastic. Blessing. Thank you, Lord. Awesome. Okay. Who is at the prayer vigil at 2 o'clock in the morning? 2 o'clock in the morning. Bet Linda Ramsey. Linda Ramsey was there from... 7:30, 8:30, 9:30, 10:30, 11:30, 12:30, 1:30, 2:30, 3:30, 4:30, 5:30, 6:30, 7:30. Not 1 hour. What? I know. Linda's someone who's like, don't even pay attention to me. But I've got to say that this was a really powerful moment. I saw you weeping over people praying for them. And that brought me undone. And what was happening for you in this prayer vigil?
I hate being in the limelight. I don't like it when people look at me. God just told me I needed to stand strong and to stand fast. That there are many hurting people that need to know that He is the God of love and the God of restoration, and He will restore what has been taken from us. And He said just to be powerful and to be strong and steadfast, and that's what He was telling me to do.
That's awesome. You are. That's beautiful. Stand strong. And I think there was another word that came. Actually, I think it was when Angela was singing. You were repeating something about stand up or stand strong. Look up, stand up, stand strong. And I think that's a word for someone here today. And I know that you are a woman who stands strong, and it's quite significant, the people's lives that you are connected to, and that, you know, God is moving on those situations, those people's lives. And I know that there are some that are very, that some families that have been very damaged and harmed, and, you know, they need Jesus. They need a revelation of God's love for them. And I know that as you stand strong on God's word, that you will start to see some of these lives turning round, that God can bring about a miracle in the ones and the twos, and you will see that happening. Amen. Amen. There's an anointing on you. Break yokes of bondage. Fantastic. Esther Hunter. So Esther was at the prayer vigil in the hour with me. And I want to thank Esther because, well, first of all, I actually want to thank Sarah Hill, because Sarah has been running our prayer chain for a number of years and has been very involved in prayer meeting and praying for Steve and I as senior pastors and our leaders. And I want to thank Sarah for her prayer and intercession for so many of us. But Sarah's doing such a great job with the C3 Cares and quite overloaded with many things and full-time work. And Esther has, who's also has a high, well, her job, it involves, quite a lot of attention and many hours of work. And Esther's put her hand up and said, I would like to, she has agreed to, taking on from Sarah the prayer chain and to coordinate that, and just the spaces of prayer where we need certain things prayed for. So it's so good having Esther on board. And what was God speaking to you in that that hour, or those couple of hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, whatever hours you were there?
Yeah, I don't speak eloquently, but that's no excuse because Moses tried that. there's so many others that could. while we were praying, I got a distinct picture of when you're in the surf and you get tossed around and in that whitewash, and it's really awful. It's nice riding the wave, but when you're in the whitewash, you're just getting tossed around. That was like circumstances. Circumstances of life, and you say, oh, look where I am, and I've got this and this. But it was a strong word to say, look up, and your head comes out of the surf and you can see the beach and you can look up and look straight, you know, and not look at what the circumstances are. And then when I got a picture of just sitting there and I couldn't walk, and God was saying, well, that's okay, just renew your strength, just wait on me. And it was just like an exchange, you know, I feel weak, I can't walk, I can't get up, but it's just waiting on you. And there's different times, and we just wait on the Lord and give him our weakness and give him those things, and he gives you the strength. And then it was standing up, then you can stand up and you can stand on the word and you're getting your strength. But then it's actually taking that step, and I got that scripture where he's a light unto our path, and you take that step, but you can't see where you're going, but you take that step and then you keep walking and he'll light the path. But he's not only lighting it for you, he's lighting it for those around you. You take that light with you, and it lights other people's paths. And then it's just walking and walking in the Spirit, and that's what we need to do. We just need to be so reliant and just walk in the Spirit and walk to that beat, that new beat that we hear. Yeah,
that's powerful. Thanks, Esther. And, you know, what I love hearing is the way God speaks to us, and that there's no, you know, there's just no judgment or deal, or there's so much grace, isn't there, that God places on our lives. And even out of that message there, there's just a lot of grace. Sometimes we just need to, we've come out of the tossing of the waves and we're feeling exhausted, and God's just saying, look, just sit on the beach for a while. I've pulled you out, you haven't drowned, and you're still here. And I think that, again, that's a word for someone else here today that, you know, just you need to just, you've been through a pretty tumultuous time. And I believe that God is just saying to us, look, just take time, sit on the beach for a while and let me minister to you. Get a hold of my word, open it up, let it minister to you. I think sometimes we get in a place where we feel like, oh, wow, you know, God is, I haven't done this and I haven't had my quiet time and I haven't read your word. Oh, and I've got to church and I actually don't even want to serve on the roster because, you know, I just haven't got time. I haven't got the space in my life. You know, we can feel like we're being tossed around by waves and we feel like we're going under. But I think there's moments that we really need to allow God to just minister to us. Where are those windows, those moments? I've got to confess, there's times when I'm feeling my devotional time in this last month has been almost not there. Like, I'm just grabbing. I'll even put on a scripture and let Siri tell me what that scripture is as I walk, just so I can get the word of God into me. Sometimes I just put on a podcast and then I just get something out of it. And is that you speaking to me, God, in this? Or is that just, you know, I don't know. Is that just me? Just we actually need to try and find those windows and those moments for God to speak into our lives. There's not a lot of time left, but what I'd like to just bring out and what I had prepared for was that that when, you know, when we pray, James talks to us. And James, they think James was either the brother of Jesus or, you know, James, one of the disciples, the rowdy ones, what were the twins of Zebedee, James and John, the, you know, the ones that were always in conflict or something. And James is, he is actually speaking about practicing our faith. And he talks about prayer and he talks about drawing wisdom from heaven. Because if we ask for it, God gives it to us. Do you believe it? When you ask God for something, do you believe? I know I'm a bit like the guy who says, Lord, help, I believe, but help my unbelief. Because sometimes it's like, I so believe you, God. I know you can do this, but I don't know, there's something hindering it right now. And I just thought we might look at just quickly, five things that hinder our prayer. Okay, so James says in James 5:16, it says, therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Is there another kind of prayer that's maybe not so powerful, that's maybe ineffective and useless, that God doesn't hear? I kind of asked myself that question. Lord, are you hearing all my prayers or are some of them ineffective, you know? And then I was, you know, reading through Luke 18, verse 10 to 14. And it says here, once there were two men who went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood apart by himself and prayed, I thank you, God, that I am not greedy, that I am not dishonest or an adulterer like everybody else. That's a bit rough, isn't it? I'm not this, but everyone else is. I thank you that I am not like that tax collector over there. Whoa, that's pointed. And I fast 2 days a week and I give you my tithes. I give you a tenth of all my income. It's up there, isn't it, right? I'm thinking, wow, okay, he's pretty sure about himself. And the tax collector stood at a distance and would not even raise his face to heaven. But he beat his breast and said, God, have pity on me, a sinner. I tell you, said Jesus, the tax collector and not the Pharisee was the one in right standing with God when he went home. For those who make themselves great will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be made great. It's amazing, isn't it, that sometimes, like, we can think more highly than we ought, or we can think more lowly than we need of ourselves. And I think God's just wanting to bring us into a place where we go, God, I recognize our self-awareness says, I'm a sinner. I actually have wrong thoughts. I have wrong actions at times, and, you know, I have perhaps, you know, just there's bad influences around my life. You know, there can be things that we realize I am a sinner. I am not perfect in any way, but because of Christ, He has washed every sin and cancelled every debt. So the first thing that could help, that could make our prayer ineffective, is prayer with a wrong motive that cannot prevail. And in James 4:3, he says, "Often we pray selfishly, but only prayer that is offered to the glory of God gains His ear and secures His answers. Dreams and desires effective to the glory of God." There's nothing wrong with, you know, believing for finances, for something that you're hoping for. But what we bring to God is for His glory, and it's for His benefit, not for our glory. So that's one thing that sometimes a wrong motive can distract, you know, God from hearing from us. The second thing was, if we harbor sin in our life, prayer cannot prevail. So in Psalm 66:18 tells us that if we knowingly entertain, we hold on to sin in our life, God will not hear us. You know, there's sometimes things like addictive behaviors which you kind of go, where has that come from? Why do I continue to react and draw to this addictive behavior? And sometimes there are things that God wants to show us that need to be broken off our lives. Sometimes it's something from a family of origin. Sometimes like it's something that's come from some kind of a curse or an assignment of the enemy. But if we are open to what God is showing us, then those things can be broken off our lives. And we can have people that are safe in our world that can help us break the patterns and the chains of sin in our life. God has already done it, but we've got to recognize that, yes, my behavior can change because of what Jesus has done. So don't harbor the sin. Don't entertain it. Yes, and moving, if I turn the page quickly on, we have got number three is the unforgiving spirit will hinder prayer. So in Matthew 11:25, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." I mean, that's a whole message right there, a whole sermon right in that. But, you know, I think as kingdom living people, knowing what Christ has done for us and that we are adopted into the family of God, we need to be able to understand that forgiveness is a part of who we are. And if we're finding it hard to forgive someone, then we need to allow people to help us walk through that journey and learn to forgive others. Because it says also that God won't forgive us unless we forgive others. And that sounds pretty strong, but it's only that it's a loving Father that's trying to say, look, it's only the person you haven't forgiven. They're off the hook. They don't know what you're chewing over within yourself. And it's really only harming ourselves. So that is a forgive one. And number four is an unwillingness to be reconciled to another hinders prayer. And in Matthew 5:23-24, it says, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar and go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift." I read that scripture and I thought, oh, wow. So if we're bringing our gift, whether it's I'm not a theologian, but I'm thinking if I'm bringing my tithes and offerings, if I'm bringing the gift of serving, if I'm giving a gift of teaching, if I haven't sorted something out with a brother that has offended me in my heart or with that person, it actually says go to that person, then I'm thinking then probably my prayer's ineffective and perhaps my gift is ineffective too. Well, that's what it's saying. So I would encourage you, don't allow those things to hinder God answering prayer and to see, you know, the miracles of God at work in your life. And the last one was a wrong relationship hinders prayer. And I put out 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, I'm speaking to the husbands right now. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. That's a big one. And I remember Steve and I talking around things once, and it was probably when we were in a bit of a tussle. Now, I didn't bring it out to him, but he said, oh, actually, you know, it says in Peter that if I'm not in right, you know, looking after you and considering you as my wife, then God's going to, my prayers are going to be hindered. And you know, that's such a big one. But it's not just the husbands and wives, it actually happens in family. And I think we could probably, most of us, could probably even just say that relationships within family can be really tough at times, and that sometimes we feel like we can drift apart, and it may be an offence, or it may be certain things that challenge us in our hearts and in our relationship. But don't let those things hinder you. I think sometimes we need to go and have the conversation, and we need to find the right time for those conversations. But at times the other person may not want to go there. And I think as we get the wisdom of God, as James talks about, ask for wisdom, we get the wisdom of God on these things, then he shows us how to live life. And, you know, I'm going to finish there. The prayer of an effective, the prayer of a righteous man, if we're in right standing with God, if we can stand before God and know that we are sinners, but by his grace and through Jesus Christ and the love of God, that we are forgiven, that we are redeemed, that there is justification. It's as though we haven't sinned, some people put it. I don't know if that's exactly the theological way of saying, but it's justification, just as if I haven't sinned, is how God looks on us when we have Christ as the focus of our life. And I'll just finish off this as we close our eyes right now. I saw this from Martin Luther. He says, we do not become righteous by doing righteous deeds, but having made righteous, we do righteous deeds. Having been made righteous, we do righteous deeds. And then I saw this, and I thought this was just a beautiful way of putting it, from a guy, Timothy Rowe. Says, righteousness is the God-given ability to stand in the presence of God without any sense of guilt, condemnation, shame, or unworthiness, and to stand in the presence of Satan without any sense of inferiority, weakness, fear, or cowardice. Righteousness is to be legally brought into right relationship and standing with God that will last forever. Last forever. Righteousness is part of our salvation in Christ and rests upon God's act of justification, where he legally declared us free from the penalty of sin and judicially delivered us from everything that stands in the way of us being declared righteous. So we've got no excuse right now. Father, I thank you for every person here, Lord, that's come into the house this morning, Lord, that's immersed themselves in worship, in your presence, and in the word. And I pray, Lord God, that every heart here can go from this place knowing that they are in right standing with you, knowing that you have delivered us and given us a freedom in Christ, that nothing that Satan would put or say against us will prosper, that any assignment that he has set up is rendered powerless when we stand before you, God. We thank you, Lord God. Lord, we know that sometimes prayer is delayed, as with Daniel, when he prayed and the angel spoke to him, and he said, it is delayed because of the principalities and powers that are going on. But Lord, if we tarry, if we wait on you, if we get in that place with you, Lord God, the time will come. You know how to walk with us and work with us. Help us to walk with you and work with you and know those unforced rhythms of grace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. There may be some of you or someone here this morning that hasn't actually allowed Jesus to come and be Lord of their life, to be the focus and center of their life. And or maybe you've walked away from God and, you know, you've come back to Him and you want to ask Him to be that Savior. You want to be in right standing with God this morning. You want to be in right standing with the Father because of what Jesus has done at the cross of Calvary, and that He is alive and well. He is a living God, the God we've been singing about, the God we've been speaking about. You may be here this morning and you haven't actually made that decision before Jesus and said, I want to be your child. I want to place you the head of my life. If that's you here this morning and God's been speaking to your heart, I don't want you to feel awkward or feel afraid, but it's just purely responding to something that God is saying. I want you to just give me a little wave so that I can see you and I can pray with you later. Is there anyone here right now in this moment that may feel that God is speaking to them, and you know that today that His day is the day that I need Jesus to be Lord of my life? I need to be led by the Holy Spirit and encouraged. I need to be a part of the family of God. Is there anyone here right now maybe feeling a little nervous about it? What does that mean? What's the commitment? The commitment's just saying yes to Jesus, and there are people that will support you and walk with you, and there's the Holy Spirit that continues to guide you. One moment left. Anyone across this auditorium that's feeling God is speaking to them, don't hold back. Give me a quick wave, hand up straight away. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit ministering to people's lives right now. Thank you, God. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you have any prayer needs, email prayer@c3monash.org.au or connect with us online.